Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right, if you have your Bible, stand to your feet with me. Turn to the book of John, the 14th chapter. We've been taking this month and we've been talking about Jesus Christ. That's a good thing to talk about in church, right? Jesus, the Son of the living God, the means by which we have eternal life. He said, the enemy comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he said, I have come that you can have life and life more abundantly. And so we've been taking time talking about Jesus the Christ, because you know there was a lot of Jesuses. It was a very common name to be named Jesus in the Hebrew culture. But what separated him was not the fact that he was Jesus. Yes, we believe in Jesus, but what separates him is that he was the Christ. He was the anointed one. He was the Messiah that was sent from God to deliver people from sin and condemnation and into the kingdom of God. Do you love him and believe in him this morning? Just say amen. John chapter 14, verses 19 through 24, and then we're going to go over to 1 John, the second chapter, verses 3 through 5. So let's first read John 14, 19 through 24. Jesus says, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. I want to read that again because we need to understand this. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verses 3 through 5. Because that was John's gospel. This is John's first epistle. And because John had heard Jesus speak those words and he'd taken them so to heart and he had allowed them to be stored inside of his heart and become the means by which he lived and the way that he developed every thought that he did and everything that he did, he would write and he would instruct us and the people that he was writing to in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And this is what he would say. Now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know. We have assurance. We have confidence. We can rest comfortably knowing that we know him. He's taking exactly what he heard Jesus said. He's reiterating it and reemphasizing it to us to realize the way that we know him is when we keep his commandments. And then Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, in him, my Father will love him. Here, John says, the love of God will be perfected within him. And so I love it when scripture confirms scripture and shows us how we ought to live and what we ought to do. And so before we look at it any further, would you bow your head and pray with me today? Father, as we look to your word, I thank you that it is given to us for instruction and righteousness. I thank you that it's given to us for doctrine. I thank you that it's also given to us to correct us in areas in our life where we've gone astray or we've gotten the wrong mindset or we have begun to compute the wrong version of who you are. But God, realign our focus today if we've gotten out of focus. God, give us clarity as we look to your word to understand who you are and what you want to do in us and through us. We honor you today in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? You may be seated today. In the past few weeks, we've used our time together on Sunday mornings to discuss the single most important human figure, God figure, who was one and the same, Jesus the Christ, the most famous person to ever live on the earth, the most important person to ever live on the earth. And he wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a miracle worker. There's been good people. There's been prophets. There's been miracle workers. But there has never been and there never will be another Jesus Christ. Do you know why there never has been and there never will be? Is there's not another need for him, because he was enough. He fulfilled everything that God sent him to do. In him, we find every single thing that we need. I'll tell you this today. If you will put your life and build your life on Jesus Christ, you will never be lacking. You will never realize and come to the conclusion, you know what, maybe I need more. I gave my life to Jesus, but is there more? Could there be more? Is there something else? No, I'm telling you today, he is everything that we need. Paul told us in Colossians that he was the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. That means in him is everything that we need. He was the propitiation for our sins. He is the reason that we are sitting here today and that we're made alive and that we're holy and acceptable in the eyes of God, and the only reason by which we can know for certain I'm going to spend eternity with God in heaven. So we could pass the time that we have here together today simply by talking about all the good that he's done, all the good that he will do, because he's that big and he's that good. We could literally just talk about that. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Paul said that in all things, Christ may have preeminence, that he may be the ruler, that he may be first place, that he would be the number one influence in our life. And I hope that you've been taking that to heart and you've been choosing every single day, he's my influence. He's influencing my decisions. He's influencing the way that I treat people, the way that I speak, the way that I think about myself, and the way that I think about others. He's influencing everything that I do. He's not just a part of my life. He is the means by which I have access to life. And so he's preeminent in everything. Last week we talked about Jesus being our freedom. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. There's no penalty for sin for those who walk not according to our flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so he is our freedom. He gave us freedom from the penalty that we should have had to pay. In fact, Jesus himself said this. Everybody knows John 3:16, but you know what he said in John 3:17? Let's read John 3:16-17 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The verse that we looked at this morning was Jesus saying that we, if we say that we love him because he loved us, we should love him. In fact, that's what it says in 1 John. It says, we love him because he first loved us. And Jesus is saying, if you really want to love me, this is how you love me. You keep my commandments and you keep my word. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the topic of loving love. Now, here's the deal. Everybody loves being loved. I'm not talking to you about loving being loved. Everybody loves being loved. Everybody loves being doted on, being told that they're awesome, that they're great, that they're talented, that, you know, everybody wants to be loved, and everybody enjoys the feeling of being loved. When somebody really appreciates you, whether it's a friend or it's a mentor or it's, you know, a spouse or whoever it is, everybody loves being loved. Everybody longs for that feeling. But I'm not talking to you about loving being loved, being celebrated, being wanted. I'm talking to you about loving the person of love. Because in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says that God is love. Now, we already established through Colossians that in Jesus dwelt the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. So that means that Jesus, being a part of God, Jesus is love. Now, love affects people in the deepest of ways. When you love something, it means more to you. When you love someone, that's the deepest connection that you can feel with someone is love. But in the Greek, there are multiple different words for love. You see, in English, we just have love. It's just like if I were to say, I love you to my wife, right? Madison, I love you. That's one kind of love. But if I were to be talking to you and I were to say, I love cheeseburgers, I do. I really do. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I love cheeseburgers. Now, not all cheeseburgers are created equal, right? McDonald's cheeseburger is not the same as like a good smash burger that's made at home, that's got some good sauce on it and got pickles on it and it's got cheese on it. It's just not the same. But it doesn't mean I don't love cheeseburgers. You know what it means? It means that I don't love cheeseburgers in the same way that I love my wife, thankfully, because that would be really weird. And I'd end up on some kind of TV show with my strange addiction and this guy's in love with a cheeseburger, right? That's not what I'm talking about. There is different types of love. But in English, we just have love. I love golf. I love football. I love, I was just about to say another sport. Apparently, I love sports. I love my family. I love going to church. But all those loves are different. They're not all the same, right? Well, in the Greek, they have a much deeper understanding. So they had different words for love. Now, two of them are found in the Bible. And I want to explain to you so that you can understand love a little bit better. Because if we're going to talk about loving love, what does love really mean? Because you can say, I love God. But what do you really mean when you say you love God? Because if I asked by showing of hands, who in here loves God, every hand would go up. But guess what? Everybody would mean it differently. And everybody lives it differently. And not everyone that raises their hand actually loves him. So we need to have a better understanding of what love is. If he is saying for us to love him because he has loved us, we need to understand, what does love even mean? What does love even look like? It's not just a broad sense of, oh, I love that or I love this, because we throw that word around like it's nothing. But what does it mean to actually love? Well, the first and the most general sense of love is the word agape. That means unconditional love. That is a selfless love. It's an umbrella, and all these other loves fall underneath it, and it appears in the New Testament over 200 times. It's there constantly. It's just love, love, love. And that's the type of love. The best way I can explain agape to you is God loving us. He loves you without conditions. What you do doesn't change whether he loves you or not. And so that's agape. But then there's also storge. Storge is familial love. That's like how I love my children or how I love my siblings. In fact, yesterday, my brother David turned 16 years old, and I called him to tell him happy birthday, and we began to talk for a little bit. And then last night, he texted me, and he was like, guess who got a phone for his birthday, and now he won't stop texting me. But you know what? I absolutely love it. I love that I now have a connection point to him that I didn't used to have. I used to have to call my mom's phone in order to talk to him or send her something I thought was funny and say, show this to Dave. But now we have that connection, and that is a familial love. I don't love David the same way that I love Madison or even the same way that I love you. It's not that I don't love you, but you're not my family. You're my spiritual family, but there is something about that brother bond that we have, or the way that I love my children, or the way that they love me. That's a familial love, that's storge. Another one, and this one's in the Bible 25 times, is phileia or phileo. That's friendly love. That's like if you got a buddy, you've got, or for you ladies, you have a what do y'all call it? A girlfriend, a bosom buddy, yeah, that's Anne of Green Gables right there for y'all. Hey, listen, I grew up with eight sisters. I understand bosom buddies. I understand all the Green Gables stuff because I had to watch it all the time. I get it, right? And so that's where you have a friend that you just love. It's like David and Jonathan. How David and Jonathan, their souls were knit together. They loved one another. That we need those kind of brotherly, friendly types of relationships in our life. And then there's also eros. Eros is where we get our word erotic, and that is romantic love. Now, let me say this for a moment. We believe, according to the word of God, that romantic love that is shared between should be shared between one man and one woman under the sanctity of marriage. Any type of erotic love that is experienced outside of the sanctity of marriage is sexual immorality. That's either adultery or it's fornication or it's homosexuality. And any of those types of erotic love that are expressed outside of marriage are sinful according to the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that erotic love is bad altogether. God wants us to experience it, but he wants us to experience it in the proper way, which is one man, one woman, under the sanctity of holy matrimony that God ordained for us to have and walk in and experience together. The last type of love I want to talk to you about is ludus. That's a fun word. Everybody say ludus. That's playful love. That means like when two children are playing together and they're having fun, or even like with a friend when you're joking and laughing and maybe you say something in fun, in play, and you have that type of relationship. And that's important as well, because a merry heart doth good like a medicine. So those are some different types of love, and there's even more that the Greek language has, but that should help open up our understanding to be like, wow, love really is a big thing. And in God, we find all of these types of love. But everybody wants to be loved. Everybody loves being loved. But today, we're not talking about being loved. When I say loving love, I'm not talking about I love being loved. I'm talking about loving love. Loving God. Loving Jesus. Loving the Holy Spirit. And when we say that we love them, guess what? There is a requirement placed upon our life that we love others. I said to you 2 weeks ago, that Jesus is the love of God demonstrated. He's the grace of God extended. He's the Prince of Peace, and he is the place in which we put our faith. And John said in his first epistle, God is love. So that means every part of God the Father, every part of God the Son, every part of God the Holy Spirit is rooted and grounded in love. And as his disciples, the ones whom he loved so dearly that he made the ultimate sacrifice for in order to redeem so that we could come back into fellowship with him, we have the privilege to love him in return. That doesn't mean we have to love him in return. It means we get to love him in return. In John chapter 14, Jesus explains to us clearly what it means to love him. He says this, "The one who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me." And then he goes on to say, if anyone loves me, they keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will make our home with him. There's a lot of people that claim that their heart is the home of Jesus, but he's not actually there. You know why? Because they're not living by the premise that he gave for the promise of being with them. We think, I prayed a prayer. I said, Jesus, come into my heart, and therefore he's there. But you know what Jesus said? He said, if you keep my commandments, if you keep my word, then I'll make my home with you. He didn't say if you pray a prayer and you say all the magic words. He said, if you follow this premise. But we've built an entire understanding of relationship with God on this one prayer. I prayed, I asked Jesus come in my heart, and he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. Do you know what? If we actually begin to read the Bible for what it says, we would probably be flabbergasted to find out that we're not quite as near to the target that he lined up for us to hit as we think that we are. But we're sitting in church on Sunday morning, we're paying our tithes, we're claiming to be a Christian, we got a fish on the back of our car. What I'm talking to you about today is actually following Jesus. And he said, if you do not keep my commandments, then you don't actually love me. Now, we have an amazing promise that he'll come and he'll make his home inside of us. I'm not trying to rob you of that. I'm not trying to talk you out of that. I'm trying to help you understand that it is possible for Jesus to literally make his home inside of your heart and for you to be his follower and be one with him and to live in his love. But the premise to the promise is that we would keep his commandments, that we would keep his word. Now, I want to say this. This is not God being mean. A lot of times we read this and we go, oh, wow, he said that in order to actually have the love of God inside of us, we have to keep his commandments. That's kind of selective. I thought you said God's love was unconditional. It is. He has covered everybody in his love. That's why he sent Jesus. So if you want to say God doesn't love me, then what you're really saying is I don't believe he sent Jesus, because him sending Jesus is him demonstrating the fact that he loves you. And that he's giving you opportunity to be invited into this family and invited into this kingdom. So it isn't God being mean. You know what it also is not? It's not God being selective. Because he's not saying, well, Josh can know my love. Josh can love me, but so-and-so over here cannot. I didn't want to pull out a name because I didn't want to hurt any feelings. Because you might think I was being personal. And I was actually pointing you out and saying, you can't. Every single one of us have the opportunity to know the love of God and to live in the love of God. And the reason he wants you to keep his commandments, because we have this idea, he wants me to keep his commandments, that's mean. No, here's why he wants you to keep his commandments. Here's why he wants you to keep his word, because they're better. That's why. Not because that means that you are bound into this legalistic relationship or this legalistic form of religion. He wants you to keep his commandments simply because it's a better way to live life, and he wants you to live the best life that you can live. So he invites you in and says, hey, follow my commandments, because in my commandments, there's blessing. In my commandments, there's peace with God and there's peace with man. In my commandments, there's joy and there's hope, and there's so much more than you could find outside of my commandments. So that's why I'm saying, if you want to experience the fullness of my love, you have got to learn to walk in my commandments. And you've got to keep my word, because it's better. It's better for you. It's better for your family. It's better for your coworkers. It's better for your neighbors. It's better for strangers. Because when I live in the commandments and the word of God, guess what? Everybody wins. Not just me, but it's better for them, because I'm treating them the way that God wants me to treat them. And when I treat them the way that God wants me to treat them, guess what? Then they begin to be affected by the love that I'm extending to them, and people's hearts begin to change, and everybody wins. God is glorified. People get to know his love. I'm honoring the Lord, and everybody wins. There's blessing on your life. He goes on to say in John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment. So you may be wondering, okay, in order to really love him, you're saying I have to keep his commandments. Yes. Okay. How many commandments are there? There's really just two. Number one is love God. Number two is love people. It's not as difficult. I'm not saying it's easy, because loving people is hard. And that's just true. So I'm not saying it's easy, but I'll tell you what it's not. It's not complex. You see, in the Old Covenant, there was over 300 commandments that they had to live by. The number may even be higher than that. That's the number that I feel like is coming to me right now. Over 300 commandments that if they did not do every single one of those, there's no way that they could have relationship with God. And the only way they could have it is when the high priest went in one day a year and he offered a sacrifice that was atonement for sin. And they were pure for a moment's time. And so there's no way that we could live in all of those commandments. In fact, I think it was closer to 900. I don't know. Somebody can fact check me on that. 612. Thank you very much. 612. See, it was right there in between 300 and 900. 612. I was just like, thank you, David. I appreciate that. 612 commandments. Now, if I sat here and read to you all those 612 commandments, one, you wouldn't get to lunch before the Baptist, but two, you would sit there and go, there's no way. Because you can't even remember all. I couldn't even remember how many there were. You couldn't even remember all of them. So Jesus said this. He said, love God and love people. Because in John 15, 12, he says, this is my commandment. This is it. He said, if you really love God, you'll keep my commandments. And then he goes on to say in chapter 15, this is the commandment. Here's what everybody needs to know. Love other people the same way that I have loved you. He's saying, this is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to construct your life. This is what I want you to keep close by, and I want you to do everything in is love. It's the defining attribute of being a disciple of Christ. Not your piety, not your church attendance, not your Facebook post. All those things can be great. You know what is the true defining characteristic of a Christian? Love. And it will never change. Can everyone agree that people are the most important thing to God in the world? It's not animals. It's not money. It's not buildings. It's not nature. As much as we should respect those things and take care of them because they are gifts from God, the most important thing to God in the world is people. Therefore, they should be the most important thing to us. People should outweigh money. People should outweigh tasks and responsibilities. We were trying to teach our children the other day, because we've got a child that is a task. How many task oriented people in here? Okay, usually you're task oriented or you're people oriented, and the problem with that is people oriented people don't get anything done. Task oriented people don't love anybody, okay? And so I'm not saying, but usually there's one in each marriage, okay? And I'll just let y'all guess which one's which in mine and Madison's relationship, and you just have to figure out. I'll just tell you, I don't get much done. So I'll tell you, I'm more of a people person. But we were trying to teach our children the other day, look, no matter what you want to get done, Never sacrifice someone else for the sake of your accomplishment. Never get to the point where it's like, well, I don't really care what they think because I'm going to override their emotions, override their feelings, because that's not how God treated us. He said, this is my commandment. Not just that I love, see, what we want to do is we want to say, well, I do love them. I do love them. I did that to them, but I did it to them because I love them. No, he said, love them the same way that I loved you, unconditionally, willing to lay his life down for his friends. He didn't go, you know what? You deserve to be treated this way. He said, even though you deserve to be treated this way, I'm going to extend an offer to you love, agape, which is unconditional. So if people are the most important thing to God, God first and people second, and everything else has to fall under that. No matter what I'm trying to accomplish, what I'm trying to get done, if I'm trying if you're trying to make more money, if you're trying to get a better education, if you're trying to climb the ladder at work, if you're trying to get your house fixed, if you're trying to get your car running, people are the most important thing in life, and everything else needs to go on pause if somebody needs help, if somebody needs love. How we treat people, how we speak to them, how we live, others, others, others. Sometimes we get so tied up in what we're doing that we forget to love other people. But there is no accolade or completion of task that is more important than a child of God. There's nothing more important. That's what our Savior taught us. He said, love one another. We cannot forsake this commandment and claim to love him. And that's what a lot of people do. They forsake his commandments and say, I love him. He's like, that's not how it works. If you love me, you keep my commandments. In 1 John, John writes and says this. We read it earlier. By this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. What does that mean? That means the confirming indicator to ourselves that we know him is whether or not we're following his commandments. So, maybe you've been like me before, and you've asked yourself, do I really know him? I've been in that place before. I'm in ministry. I got saved when I was 5. And sometimes I still have to ask myself, do I really know him? And you should, if you're not asking yourself that question, then you probably should. And John said, guess what? You can answer that question by asking yourself another question. Do I keep his commandments? And then when you get down to the bottom of it, you realize his commandments are love God and love people. If I'm doing those two things, then I have the assurance I know God and I love God. He simplified all the old covenant. In fact, I want to read to you Matthew 22, 35 through 40. I think we have it on the screens if you need it. It says, then a lawyer came to Jesus. And he asked him a question. And he asked him with the intent to question him, meaning he wanted to find Jesus at a fault. And so he asked this question. He said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall also love your neighbor as yourself. But he doesn't stop there. Verse 40 says this, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Meaning everything is summed up in these two commandments, love God and love people. If what I'm doing or not doing doesn't fall into those categories, then I shouldn't be doing it. Or I shouldn't not be doing it. Because the reason this is so important and we should weigh our lives based upon this is that so often we're like, well, I shouldn't lie. I shouldn't cheat. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. If I truly love someone, I won't lie to them. If I truly love someone, I won't cheat on them, but I'll be faithful to them. If I truly love God, I won't turn a blind eye to his word. If I truly love God, I won't forsake his way, and I won't stop praising him and loving him and offering myself to him. And so if I truly love him, in fact, 1 John 5:3 says this, for this is the love of God. This is it. It's all wrapped up into this, that we keep his commandments. But this is the kicker. and his commandments are not burdensome. That's what I want you to walk away with today's understanding. Okay, I can't love God if I don't obey his commandments. But his commandments are simple. Love God and love people. And those commandments, even though they may seem like a burden, they're really not burdensome. That means they're light and they're enjoyable. It's not a burden to obey his commands. Let's set the record straight on that. Obedience isn't always laborious. We've painted this picture of, oh, you've got to be obedient. Listen, it's hard to be obedient. It's hard to be obedient. It's hard to serve God, but you can do it. John said, guess what? They're not burdensome. It's not truly a burden to love someone when you really love them. You see, if you don't really love them, loving people is hard. But if you truly have captured the heart of God, it's not a burden to love people. It's a blessing to love people. It's a joy to love people. It's an honor to love people. It's an opportunity, not just something that we have to do because he said, well, I guess if I love God, I better love them. No. It's not burdensome when we truly understand what love is, because when we love people, we're loving him. That's what he said when he tells us the story or a parable that at the end of time, that we're going to, when we're standing before him, he's going to say to one group of people, when I was sick, you didn't visit me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in jail, you didn't visit me. And they're going to say, Lord, when? He's going to say, as much as you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. But then there's going to be another group that's going to get to go into heaven. Even though that group is cast into utter darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth, there's going to be another group, and he's going to say, you are so blessed because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. And they're going to go, when? How? He's going to say, as much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. We cannot be selective in who we love. Why? Because God was not selective in who he loved. He didn't pass you over, so we shouldn't pass other people over. If loving people is the most important thing to God, then loving people should be the most important thing to us as his children. You were made to love. You were made to love him and made to love others. As we read earlier in John, 1 John 2, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. That means this. Whoever observes and holds fast to the word of God in their life and the commandments of God in their life, they get to know the fullness of God's love. Here's the deal. Everyone has the opportunity, but not everyone takes advantage. Everybody has the opportunity to know the fullness of God. But do you know that there's some people that don't know the fullness of the love of God? They only know a little bit of the love of God. That's why he said, whoever keeps his word, the love of God is perfected in him. They get to know the full spectrum of the love of God because they're keeping his word and keeping his commandments. God loves everybody, but you know what? Not everyone comprehends his love. Everybody in here has a different comprehension of the love of God. And most people are comprehending the love of God based upon how you've seen other people love you. And that's where we get a block. And we don't get the fullness or the completion of his love. And that hinders us from being able to love others properly because we don't yet fully know that he loves us perfectly. And until we know that, we cannot love other people properly. But I encourage you in this today, be a person that loves to love. That you don't just love because it's an obligation. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, this is a commandment, and as long as you do it this way, what he's saying is, learn to love the way that I've loved you, fully, perfectly, completely. Don't claim to be a follower of Christ and yet not uphold his commandments, the greatest of which is love. Love God and love people. If you do those two things, guess what? You will find a whole new avenue of life that you haven't even walked in yet. It will open your eyes naturally and spiritually to things that you never even dreamt that you could see or walk in before. And so we have got to understand the importance of love. Because without loving the way that he calls us to love, we can't fully encounter and experience the love that he wants to give to us. So it unlocks the opportunity to be able to know the love of God in a deeper way. Can you stand to your feet with me this morning? Sometimes the simplest words are the hardest to deliver, just to be honest. Because what happens is we think that we've heard it since the time we were 3 or 5 or 10. I know this scripture. I've heard this scripture. The freedom that is in Jesus Christ and the power that we have in God does not come from knowing his word. It comes from obeying his word. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, it's not just knowing my commandments. Because guess what? The Pharisees knew all 612 commandments. Knew them by heart. But Jesus said, you guys are whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but you're completely dead on the inside. And I don't want to be someone that when I get to heaven, he says, why didn't you visit me? Why didn't you feed me? Why didn't you clothe me? Oh, Lord, I didn't know it was you. As much as you didn't do it to the least of these, guess what? You didn't do it to me either. I want to treat every single person, and I hope that you do too, want to treat them like Jesus, because I want to truly know that I know him. I don't want there to be an ounce of doubt inside of me concerning my relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want to keep his commandments, because that gives me the hope and the peace that I need to know I'm walking with him. Because as long as I'm loving people properly and I'm loving God properly, guess what? Things will go properly in my life. Amen? Would you bow your head with me today? Maybe you're here today and you say, I just need to encounter God's love in a real way. I've known it before, or maybe you've never known it before. I believe that all we have to do is ask, because he is love. In the moment that we ask, he will answer and he will show himself to us, and he wants you to know how much he loves you. Just like we sang earlier with assurance, I am a child of God. He wants you to know that he's redeemed you. He wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that you are his and that he is faithful and he is for you and not against you. And if you need a fresh outpouring of the love of God in your life, would you just lift your hand? I just want to pray over you. There's nothing embarrassing about it. We all at times need to be reminded of how much God loves us and God is for us. So, Father, I pray for your children today. I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened and that we would see and know how much you love us so that we can properly love other people. God, we don't want to be people that claim to be your children but reject your commandments, that claim to be holy but yet don't do the things which you called us to do by your word. And so we say that we want to be like David, where he said, I love your law. I love your commandments. They're sweeter than honey to the taste. God, I pray that we would have a love for loving people, that we would not be selfish, always wanting to be loved, but we would seek in every moment, how do I love? How do I love my spouse? How do I love my children? How do I love my coworkers? How do I love just people that I've never even seen before? How do I love people that are different than me? So that we can be in your commandments and in your love and know the fullness of how you have chosen to love us and give yourself for us. So I pray that you would help us to keep your commandments, to walk in them wholeheartedly, to not forsake, to not drift away, but to walk truly in the love of God. Lord, help us to remember that if people are the most important thing to you, then second to you, people should be the most important thing to us. God, forgive us for when we've put other things above you or above people. And we've been selfish in nature. We've been rude. We've been curt. We've been just self-consumed. God, I pray that you would help us to have a new revelation of how we are to walk with you. And Lord, I pray for those of us that need repentance today, that need to change our mind, that need to go the other direction. Maybe there's been some today, they've been running selfishly, not mindful of others, not true, saying they love God, but not truly loving their brother and sister. I pray that you would give the grace that is needed to correct the course and to come back to you and to truly love the way that we have been loved. We thank you for that love. And we honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace and smile all over you, and may you keep the commandments and the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may you walk in love, true love, love that suffers long and is kind, love that doesn't envy, but love that would cover a multitude of sins. Love that would reach out to someone that wronged you. Love that would bridge the gap that's been there for years. Love that would overlook offenses. And love that is strong and kind and heartfelt. And not just love that is spoken, but love that is shown. So I speak that blessing over your life today. May you walk in the love of God, and may you love others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I love you so much, and I'm so thankful that you're here today. And don't forget, Wednesday night, there's no service here, but we'd love for you to join us at 6:30 in Scottsboro. God bless.